We've watched it become part of the Syracuse cityscape for almost 3 years now. So far, the reviews are just great. And what is it? It's University Hospital's new addition, the East Tower. And a familiar voice joins us this morning to tell us more about it. Dr. John McCabe is here. Good morning, Dr. McCabe.
Good morning again.
And listeners, know you as the go-to guy on emergency medicine, but this morning we're introducing you as the interim CEO of University Hospital, a new job for you.
Yes, it's a new job that I'll do for a little while here to help the institution and keep us on track.
Well, you know, what a great way to kick off this new job, opening the East Tower. That's fun.
Oh, it was fun. And last week we had a ribbon cutting. And as I said to people, when you got off the elevator in the new part of the hospital, it was a jaw dropper. People saw something that they hadn't seen around Syracuse or Central New York. And it was wonderful for me to be able to help people celebrate that success.
Well, let's go back 3 years ago when the groundbreaking took place. What was the intent? What was the goal in building the new addition?
Well, there's a couple of intents. One was obviously to update our patient care space, which had become a little bit old and antiquated. The second was to be sure that we built inpatient space where every patient had their own single room. Very important.
And that's a big shift, isn't it?
That's a huge shift, but a shift that's occurred in the hospital industry all around us, around the country, and so it was really an important goal. And the third was to increase our bed size a little bit, capacity, and of course the fourth, which will be something for the future, was to get the Children's Hospital in place.
Right, and we're going to talk about the Children's Hospital in just a moment, but which patients are moving into the new tower?
So the patients that have moved already are patients on three specific floors, neurosciences, oncology, and cardiovascular. So patients with those kinds of complaints, which really runs the gamut, most of the medical kinds of patients that we have, and some of the surgical patients who are admitted to University Hospital.
They are. And so now they've come out of old space, quote unquote, in University Hospital. What happens to the old space?
Well, the old space getting cleaned up now, and long term, over the next few years, we're planning and we'll renovate that space to, again, better meet patient needs and to ensure that private rooms are there and that we have the ability to do the services we want to have for the future for Central New York.
Sounds great. Talk to me about the patient experience. You said more elbow room in effect, but how does that change the patient experience? Are they going to heal quicker?
Well, you certainly would hope they'll heal quicker, and everything from the choice of the colors to how the rooms are organized is really carefully considered. If you walk into one of the new rooms, a new patient room has about this, actually a little more square footage than a patient room for two patients in the old part of the hospital.
Wow.
And included in there are things like space for the family, sleeping space for the family.
Really?
There's much less noise. Patients should be able to sleep better. The environment's much brighter. And there are also some functional things like nurses are deployed differently so that the nurses are much closer to the patient rooms in many places. And so we think all of that makes both a better patient experience and also hopefully a more soothing and better healing environment.
Well, I like that word soothing because when I think of hospital rooms, I think of something very stark and institutional and not at all soothing, not at all comfortable. So it sounds like all that has changed.
It has. I mean, the colors are different when you walk off. It's very soft. The hallways kind of open up to engage you. And even down to simple things like how the rooms are numbered. It's no longer a six-digit number. It's rooms 21 to 42.
Ah.
So it's almost like, in that sense, being in a hotel space instead of a hospital space.
Wow, it sounds good. You know, I hate to say it, but it almost sounds like a desirable place to be in the hospital.
Well, we always say you're always better not being sick and being out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. But when you are sick and you need a hospital, we ought to make it as good an experience for you and as healing an environment as we can.
Absolutely. It all sounds expensive. How was it paid for?
Well, the cost to date is about $150 million. It's a huge construction project for Syracuse. But people should remember that these are bonded dollars. It's not as if the state of New York just gave the money to Upstate.
And not as if we all coughed it up out of our pockets?
No, you didn't cough it up, and it will be paid down. I mean, there's a debt service, and mm-hmm. the revenues from taking care of patients, like any hospital, will be what's used to pay down the debt and to keep the building functional and make it a reality for all of Central New York.
It sounds like a mortgage.
It really is a mortgage, yeah.
Okay, so, and you have to earn the money to pay it back, right? So you have to be doing something right. Now, of course, we all know that a big part of the East Tower is the Children's Hospital. How does that fit in?
So the East Tower is the top two floors of the building. We've opened three floors. Then there's a mechanical floor where all the air conditioning and heating and the like is stored. And then there's two floors for the Children's Hospital. They'll open in September.
Okay.
And it's really a wonderful way to put all the pediatric services in the same place. and to really upgrade the pediatric and family experience as well.
And, you know, we've heard so much about the Children's Hospital. I think that a lot of people probably thought the entire addition was going to be the Children's Hospital, but that's not the case.
That's not the case. It really is a mixture of a new space for our inpatient beds and then new space specifically designed in many ways for children and for families.
You know, I also find it fascinating that when you think of additions, typically we think of moving out, you know, horizontally, and this one went vertically. Do you know anything? Now, I know you weren't there, but do you know anything about the decision to go up?
Well, I know the decision that we might go up goes back to when the lower parts of that building were built 10 or 15 years ago.
Oh, really? They anticipated it then.
And it really is a testament to the folks who designed and built it that if you think about it, the lower floors, which are the emergency department, the operating rooms, the ICUs, all function throughout this construction process really without much difficulty. And there's not a lot of space for things to have come and to be delivered and for trucks to unload. And most of the people on the Hill would say this project was accomplished without a huge amount of inconvenience.
And, you know, that absolutely is true because I drive by the hospital all the time and very few interferences with anything I wanted to do. Well, very good. Well, Dr. John McCabe, thanks so much for coming by this morning. It's an exciting time for University Hospital.
My pleasure. It is. Thank you.
Hi, I'm psychologist Dr. Rich O'Neill with this week's Checkup from the Neck Up. Well, dear listeners, summertime is a great time to try new things. About 31 summers ago, I went to visit my brother Charlie in Alaska. I'd never been there before, didn't know a soul besides Charlie. One day, hitchhiking into town from his log cabin, really, I had this sudden insight that I could be anybody I wanted to be, try out totally new behaviors with people, and I thought, I felt this freedom because nobody there knew me. Nobody knew what box to put me in. I was thinking about that the other day, and I realized we can always be anybody we want, no matter where we are, who we're with, or how much they pressure us. We could try out new ways of being anytime we want. Usually, however, what happens is when the sun rises, one wakes up, and our own brain automatically puts us back in the bag known as myself, my Dr. Rich O'Neill, serious psychologist. But what if we want to try being like someone we admire, try one of their ways of being? Well, turns out our brain has ways to pressure us to stay in the box. It thinks things like, I can't do that. Other people will think I'm weird. In 1970, Toots and the Maytals did a marvelous song, Pressure Drop, about how we drop this pressure on ourselves. Now, we psychologists call this self-limiting, if I do this, something will go wrong kind of thoughts, negative predictions about the future. To punch our way out of that brain bag, we can ask ourselves, can I predict the future? Well, no. And then decide, are we up for acting new and different? To become somebody new and different? Yes? Then let's courageously step up to the microphone at the edge of the unknown and belt out our new self with gusto. For example, I've always wanted to unload the pressure to be serious, Dr. O'Neill, and sing with Toots. So, when it drops, oh, you're gonna feel it, know that you were doing wrong. I say, oh, when it drops, oh, you're gonna feel it, know what you were doing wrong. And dear listeners, you could go to Dr. Neckup at upstate.edu and let me know what you think of my singing, but I know I can predict that. I'm not getting into that box. I'm reggae singer Dr. Toots O'Neill. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, pressure drop, oh pressure, oh yeah, pressure drop, a drop on you. I say a pressure drop, oh pressure, oh yeah, pressure drop, a drop on you.